Let it all out. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition, the PG edition, of Open Turnbuckle, right here on TRN, the Talkin' Wrestling Network. I am your host, B. Rotten, and this is my show where I get to take the pad off the WWE and the world of professional wrestling and tell you how it really is. But this week on Open Turnbuckle, I have a very special guest coming to us all the way from Vancouver. Cooper the Comedian and I had a great conversation a couple of days ago talking about everything going on in WWE and the whole world of professional wrestling right now. Now, we will have another show with him on the second edition of On the Line here coming up soon, and that one will be all about Coop and who he is and what he's all about in his career as a comedian and the fact that he's going to be going to Lance Storm's Pro Wrestling School here soon. We talk about that a little bit on this episode as well. So stay right there for a very entertaining conversation with myself and Cooper the Comedian right here on Open Turnbuckle on TRN, the Talkin' Wrestling Network. All right, everybody, welcome back to Open Turnbuckle Exposed Steel right here on TRN, the Talkin' Wrestling Network. As always, I am your host, B. Rotten, and you can follow me on Twitter at B_Rott, R-O-T-T-3-6, it's B-Rott36. Hit me up anytime and we can discuss and debate, not argue, anything WWE and the whole world of professional wrestling. And we usually get what's up here in this zany brain of B. Rotten, but today we have another, I guess we could say, zany brain. Here today as a special guest, coming to us here at TRN all the way from Vancouver, we have Cooper the Comedian. Cooper, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing fine, B. How you doing?
I'm doing great. The weather sucks, but I'm doing awesome myself.
Can't blame Mother Nature for what it tends.
Oh, no, you can't. Had to drive yesterday. 2 hours and the rain was sloshing, so a 2 hour drive took three. And it was awesome.
Yeah, we were talking back and forth, and you had a busy day yesterday, so it's taken a lot of time for us to get together with this, but thank you very much for breaking me on this awesome opportunity.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I'm honored to have you on myself, so back at you. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's taken us a while, and I've been stoked about this, so we're actually going to have two parts. This episode here for the PG Open Turnbuckle is going to be Cooper and I, and we're going to learn about where Cooper's, his professional wrestling fandom, I guess you could say. How big of a fan is he? How long has he been watching and all that? And then we're going to talk about some recent happenings and occurrences and what's going on in WWE and the world of professional wrestling right now. Then we're going to have a part two on our new interview series called On the Line here on TRN, the Talkin' Wrestling Network. The first one, Alex, our TRN founder, Alex Carter, he interviewed Matthew of Botchamania. I don't know if have you ever watched Botchamania?
No, I haven't. I have to get on it now.
Yeah, dude, it's hilarious. His name is Matthew. He's from England, and this thing, it's just a bunch of botches. Like, you know, people botching in the ring, and it's just hilarious. You got to see it. So definitely look that up. But we're going to have Cooper the Comedian here back on the line for a part two, where we'll get to know Cooper himself quite a bit more and his career now as a comedian and doing comedy. I know you do some things on Funny or Die and things like that. So, I mean, if you want to go ahead and just give a quick overview of some of the things you do here right now and go ahead and plug some of that stuff, go right ahead.
Well, my name is Cooper the Comedian for my stage name, but everybody calls me Coop for short. I prefer to be called Coop because whenever somebody says Cooper, I feel scared that I'm in trouble or something like that. So I'm a really easygoing guy. And I've been in broadcasting for 10 years now, ever since the age of 15. And recently, past 2 years, I've been starting to pursue more on comedy. And so far, we're just having a blast with this because we're doing all sorts of activities, from making comedy albums to going to the Just for Laugh Comedy Festival in Montreal, to doing stand-up, to animation voiceovers. And next year, even thinking about getting into wrestling, and that's always been something I've wanted to do as a kid.
Yeah, that's what you were telling me before. I know you had said you're saving up to go to the Lance Storms wrestling yep. school. Is that correct,
dude? That is correct. That is at some point next September in 2015, he has three classes scheduled for next year, and it's a 12 week program, and I look forward to seeing what we can do to put as much effort as I can into going to this camp. And it's gonna be a really fun opportunity meeting Lance Storm, somebody growing up with wrestling, a Canadian idol as myself. Insane. You know, we've got a few Canadian guys that have done really well in the WWE.
Heck yeah,
Chris Jericho. You got to give that guy so much credit for him.
Oh, definitely, and you can't forget the Hart family, obviously. You know, and there's one right now, Tyson Kidd. I love Tyson Kidd. I don't know how much you've kept up with NXT or whatnot. We'll get in that in a minute, but. Man, watching Tyson Kidd's transformation in NXT here the past few months and in between the takeovers now and into TakeOver 3 Revolution has been absolutely amazing. I hope to God he makes it on the main roster, but we'll get on some of that later on. But that's just another example of a Canadian. Canada has had a huge impact on WWE, man. You can't – and you're going to a great school. If that's where you're going to go, that's one of the best in the world right now, I know. Listening to JR's podcast, I don't know if you ever listened to his or Austin's podcast. They both give it They both give it high marks all the time. So, yeah, that's definitely going to be a great experience, man. I'm kind of jealous of you there. You've got a few years under my, you know, younger than me, so you still got those experiences ready to go.
Well, it's also the opportunity of trying something new. Mm-hmm. I never got into wrestling in high school or anything like that because I was more involved in the broadcasting department doing morning announcements for 3 years on camera, so people got to know who I was doing that. And watching WWE growing up, one of my favorite all-time wrestlers is Rob Van Dam, just because he's athletic, his style, the five-star frog splash. Growing up, he's in Iowa, and he's also, you know, he talks a lot about fun things on Twitter.
Yeah.
He's really fun to talk about on Twitter. And so these kind of people growing up as a child to me have now recently wanted me to get motivated to trying something new for next year, and also a way for me to get more more healthy when it comes to getting in more shape for camera work for next year for 2015. Hmm. So it's just something fun and new to try for me.
Yeah, definitely. That would be a blast. I know as a kid I wanted to be a professional wrestler, but being from a small town in northeastern Kentucky, I just never thought I'd be able to. So I never, like you, I was into other things in high school. I ran track and did a few other things. I'm an artist, so I was big into the art, you know, there and stuff. So I just didn't really have much time for it, really. But wrestling wasn't huge where I was growing up. I know for me here, even in the South, somewhat northeastern Kentucky, I'm in the tri-state of Ohio, West Virginia, Kentucky. So I'm kind of northeastern, but it was seen as that, you know, dumb wrestling from the South, you know, those stupid people from the South. That kind of made us get made fun of at school if you let out that you were watching wrestling. So I wanted to get at, how did you start watching wrestling? When did you first notice it? What wrestlers initially as a kid, you know, about what year, what caught your eye? What got you into wrestling 100%?
Well, I think the first time I remember was obviously the Monday Night War between WCW and WWF at the time. And that's what really caught me into getting wrestling, is because the feud that was going back and forth between these two, it was really fun to watch. And I was a big fan of The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, just because they were fun and entertaining to watch. And I had to secretly wait for my parents to go to bed. And then that's where I would have the TV turned on, and I would have the remote next to me in case they got up and wanted to check up me out of my room, so I'd turn the channel right away.
Yeah.
So I was, and I loved it secretly, and we had a trampoline in our backyard that after I started watching the wrestling, I wanted to do wrestling moves on the trampoline. And it was fun because it was only me that was watching it. Nobody else in the family knew I was doing it. And I tried bringing friends home from school just to wrestle with them. Yeah. They didn't like it because I was beating them up on the trampoline. And so so I started watching more and more WWE as it started to develop more. Mm-hmm. And some characters I really loved was Rob Van Dam.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle was one of the people that I hated loving, though. He's one of those characters He had the Olympic gold medalist at the time. He was always bragging. And Edge was another one of my favorites. I think one of my very first pay-per-views I watched was when Edge and Kurt Angle had their hair versus hair match. And that's when Kurt Angle went bald.
Mm-hmm. And it's stayed that way ever since.
Yeah, it stayed that way ever since.
I think he looks better with it anyway. He had that weird, like, Howie Mandel mullet going on there for a little bit.
He had a mullet for a time, and then he had short hair. Yeah. And it was that's when I started really liking WWE more, and I was getting more into it. I was starting to purchase magazines that I loved. My dad buying the magazine that I would read about the superstars. Yeah. And as I was starting to get more and more involved into liking him more, that's where I became really big fans of Eddie Guerrero because it was with JBL. And then, unfortunately, the passing of Eddie Guerrero was probably one of the most heartbreaking things for WWE. And then, obviously, after the Chris Benoit incident happened, that's when I decided that, maybe they need to figure some stuff out in the WWE. And that's where I sort of drift away. But now I've been starting to get more interested in the WWE because of the fact that there's new superstars like Daniel Bryan that's doing a fantastic job. Oh, Bray is doing a terrific job as he's got to be one of the leaders now as one of the main heels.
Definitely.
And now I'm starting to watch Lucha Underground, which is amazing. As a standpoint from a broadcaster, I love the video work that they're doing, and it's a small venue too. And they have some stars that I like there. Johnny Mundo, obviously, just signed them. He's pretty. And this is also with Johnny Mundo. I haven't seen his side in the WWE because they focus more on the big names like John Cena and that.
Yeah.
And now we get the opportunity to see Johnny Mundo as like the star, basically on something new. And so now I'm getting really into WWE. I'm talking more into wrestling, and it's just more fun and entertaining now.
I have to agree. Right now, do you have the WWE Network there?
I'm actually getting it for Christmas this year. I asked for Santa for Christmas this year.
Awesome. Well, if it's on there permanently, you have got to watch Vince McMahon's interview on Austin's podcast live Monday night.
Oh yeah, I saw it.
You did see it? Oh, yeah. That thing was just as good as Punk's, I believe. I mean, he said some crazy things in there, but one thing he said to me that stuck out immediately was he basically almost bashed his own roster, saying that they don't have a deep talent, which I know is one thing a lot of people talk about. To me, they have the talent. The talent's there. This is one of the most talented rosters I think we have ever seen in the WWF, WWE, ever. And I just think they're not being used right. Like, Austin even disagreed with him right there on Cesaro. And that's actually one of the people I was going to talk to you about is Cesaro. What do you think? Do you think this is deserved? You know, he was Castagnoli. I don't know if you ever watched any of the indie stuff. He was well-respected already there. He's already in his 30s, I believe, 33, 34 area. So, you know, they don't have a whole lot of time to wait around with him. But do you think he needs to get a push? Do you think they have a plan for him? What are your thoughts on Cesaro right now?
Well, ever since him and Jack Swagger have drifted apart, just like on the podcast, like they said, they had Cesaro, you know, doing good on his own. He was competing for title defense. He was competing back and forth for the United States title and the Intercontinental Championship with Sheamus. Those were really fun matches to watch with Cesaro. He's always entertaining, and he's probably one of the most physical superstars on the WWE roster. And what I think they need to do is give him a title to use for a while so he can start building up a heel character more while he's the title. And they're doing a great job with Rusev. Yes. Obviously, he's the United States. Yeah, because now he is one of the most hated people on that roster. They've done a great job with, there can't be anything more worse than having a Russian hate America and him walking around with the United States title.
Yeah, no kidding. And we talked about Kurt Angle. Like, a lot of us were hoping that he was going to be the guy coming back in January. He had already said a couple of months ago he signed a contract. He just couldn't say what it was until January. He let it out early. He's going back to TNA. It's kind of disappointing. I don't know how well his neck is, though, to be able to take Rusev anyway. But I agree with you really quick on Cesaro. I really don't think he's being buried like a lot of people say he is, like not as bad, because like you said, he was up against the Intercontinental title, or going for the Intercontinental title against Dolph just here recently. Had a decent little couple matches. I mean, Survivor Series, that could have been, well, no, it wasn't Survivor Series, the month before, was probably the best match on the card to me. You know, those two could go, which Dolph has chemistry with anybody, but that's Cesaro, to me, has chemistry with anybody in the ring. He can go technically, he can go powerful or whatever. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think they could have given him the Intercontinental title. My only thing was they did that a little bit too early, because I wanted Dolph to have the title for about 8 months or so to kind of bring prestige back to it, you know. But I think he did get that, so let's hope Harper keeps that going, which we'll get on that in a minute. Let's go ahead, and since you brought up Rusev, I do have a survey question I'm asking everybody, and I want to go ahead and get this one out of the way. I said right after WrestleMania, when I found out that Rusev was a legit powerlifter, a legit Muay Thai kickboxer, I think jiu-jitsu or judo.
Trained by one of my favorite wrestlers, Rikishi.
Yes, yes. So he's got a lot. He's a legit guy. And I said if they build him properly, which they have since then so far, if they continue to do that, say Brock were to come back after Mania, no matter what happens at Mania and all that crap, say he does decide to sign back because that's when his contract ends, would you think it would be legit, and would you want to see Rusev versus Brock, say, at SummerSlam 2015? That was the date I gave it, if back at Mania. So go ahead.
That'd be interesting because obviously Brock's background with wrestling, he's obviously obviously would take the role of being, you know, standing up for USA. That kind of storyline would be intriguing because these are two power lifters, and I don't think Rusev is ready for that kind of challenge yet. Due to the fact that I think he still needs more experience with the WWE background, I think he needs more rivalries before moving on to the bigger guys. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's now re-rivaling with Jack Swagger again.
It seems that way.
Yeah, so they're going back to an old storyline with Rusev, which is questioning to me, are they running out of ideas what they want to try and do with Rusev and who he wants to go against, who wants to represent the United States? I was really hoping that Rusev would face The Rock first, obviously, when The Rock came and he made that impression. And then they mentioned that, you know, The Rock will get his down the road, which is kind of foreshadowing that maybe Rusev and The Rock should go against each other first. With The Rock standing up for USA, it would be quite a shocker to everyone if Rusev somehow beats him.
Yeah, yeah, and because I don't know that I would agree with Rock coming in and then being the guy to be the first one to beat Rusev. I don't think that. Cause I don't think you can do that, because you can't have one guy just come in, take a guy out that you've been building. Nobody can beat him. Nobody, as far as pinning and submitting, nobody can do it. You know, he's actually lost. It's just been by disqualification. You know, he actually has losses. Just, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. But I don't think you could have a guy come in, beat him, and then just take off. You know what I mean? Like, are we really that good when a guy can just walk in off the street, beat one of our dominant guys, and walk back out? So that would be a tricky situation. But I think people would be in shock just the fact that The Rock was giving that much credit to Rusev, in the fact that giving him credit that he could go with himself in the ring. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And the question that still runs through my mind is, who is going to be the person that they're going to who's going to pin Rusev, and who's going to be the person to make Rusev tap? And that's what I'm looking forward to, is who's going to be the guy so far to stop Rusev. And there's not many people on that roster that could do that against Rusev. Obviously, guys like The Big Show, maybe Eric Rowan. Obviously, what they're doing with Eric Rowan is really, really fun for the whole WWE, because it's a brand new character that nobody knows about. And we just learned about his character that he has an IQ of 140.
That makes him great, which is above genius level. Genius level is 130. What's his name when he said that's almost genius level? He was actually wrong. It is genius level. And that, it makes it perfect, honestly. Like, they make him look childlike, but then he's highly intelligent, you know. So it's great. And while we're on that really quick, because this is one of the ones I really wanted to talk about, was Courtney, my fiance, she's also my co-host on Open Turnbuckle Exposed Steel. It's more of our adult version. I do most of my interviews. Okay, awesome. Well, thank you very much. We said before we took a little experiment. We took 3 or 4 weeks off. Wanted to see if we could still know what was going on when we came back. Then Russo wrote his second letter to Vince in the WWE saying, "You're not creating must-see TV. I see that you're taking the steps forward and at least trying harder than you were last time when I wrote the first letter. But, you know, you're making must-see TV." And that's why we said on the Survivor Series show, ours, that Rowan was actually the perfect choice to replace Sheamus. Whether Sheamus' storyline, and hopefully it is, and he comes back as a heel, and even if it is legit injury, I don't care whichever way it was, I think Rowan was the perfect choice.
It was.
It was at the very end of the show, and then he comes out and points at Harper, which is not even who he's fighting right now. You got to think that's coming eventually. But it was must-see TV in the fact that people went, what the heck? Why Harper? Or why Rowan? It leaves that question, why does he want to be on this team? What does he have to gain from all this, you know? Well, they don't answer that question. You come back. So I agree with you there. So go ahead, though, on Rowan. How far – I've said he needs to be the Kane of this generation. Obviously not the same character, maybe not even a heel, but you know what I'm saying. That they need that monster. They don't really have a monster right now. So do you think Rowan has a place to go? I'm loving that they're giving this attention. He deserves it, in my opinion.
Yeah, he actually just had his 33rd birthday, actually. I think was it earlier last week or was it earlier this week? I think it was last week that he just turned 33. And so, obviously, now he's getting up there in age. So it's great that the WWE is giving him an opportunity to use a character that everybody's not used to. And obviously, with the way his look is, with this scruffy beard, the way that, you know, how roughed up that mask is that he always looks at, he's always talking to it. It's really fun what they're doing with Eric Rowan, and it also with Luke Harper, with the fact that now he's an Intercontinental Champion, and he's up there in age now. I think he's around 39 or 40. He's up there.
Is he?
And he's around that age. And it's also a great idea what they're doing with his character too, how he's getting a lot of booze. So he's starting to create that character where everybody's starting to get mad at him more and more. And it's the fact that he's also one of those whacked out.
I love it. Yeah.
That's one of my favorites that people get to boo at is when he actually yells and everybody boos at him.
And see, that's one thing, though, we need more of in WWE. You know, like with the Wyatts themselves, they were starting to get cheers. Cesaro was getting cheers. I said Cesaro did one genius thing, which he probably learned from Heyman. I'm one that's an advocate that I think a certain set of rules need to come back into wrestling, because it gives you something for heels to work on to get the crowd to hate you during the match, you know. There's not much for people to work with in the ring as far as getting a heel. Well, he got everybody to like the swing, right? Everybody's like, yeah, everybody's counting along and everything. Now what's he do? He goes and acts like he's going to go for the swing, and then looks around and goes, and then jumps on their stomach. So what he did was he did this ingenious thing where he gets you to like something about him, and the reason you hate him now is because he won't give it to you. You know,
And also what just happened at Survivor Series where he came out, everybody was excited. Mm-hmm. Oh, is Cesaro finally going to turn? And next thing you know, he just turns and walks to the other side. That was a great job what they did with Cesaro there.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And this is another thing I was going to get on later, but while you mention that, I'm going to go ahead and jump into this one head first. And this is Reality Era. Okay, we've all heard Reality Era. And honestly, I said it was the Reality Era 2 weeks before Triple H actually said it on TV. I just see this thing coming on where, to me, the Reality Era is obviously the lines are blurring between the walls, what's contained in the walls of WWE and what's outside. To me, I think they're almost scripting stuff to happen on purpose out in real life to make it feel more real. So that they have to do something to blur the lines more, because the advent of the internet and the dirt sheets and the news, the internet wrestling community, which is a term I still don't 100% understand. I mean, everybody gets on the internet and looks at something. So aren't we all, if you're a fan of wrestling, aren't we all the internet wrestling community? Anyway, they throw nods at us now. You know, JBL, when Cena and Bray had the Buried Alive, not Buried Alive, Last Man Standing, but then he said he had to literally bury Bray, because we all make jokes that Cena buries people. But I also think there's a possibility they're actually leaking false information on purpose to also keep us on our toes. If you look when Jericho came back on his Twitter, he posted pictures of him playing Rock Band, and then we all heard there's a big return coming. We knew that for a fact, and then Miz comes out first. They literally trolled us, you know. So do you think that's a possibility that they're that the reality error is actually bigger than some people think it may be?
Well, one thing I like to bring up is Vince made a great point, is now this is a different era compared to 10 years ago where there was no Twitter. Social networking is so important. And it's hard for an organization like the WWE to stop people from being themselves. You take a look at Dolph Ziggler is probably one of the best examples. He goes and he is great when it comes to social media. And like what Vince said Phil Brooks said about if he ever said something bad on Twitter, they would get mad at him and they would get in trouble or anything like that. And or also he mentioned the writers. If he disagreed with the writers, then the writers would stop writing stuff for him, kind of thing. So it's really hard to try and stay in a character for 24/7 like the WWE is asking from these people when they are just regular human beings like you and me, myself. Yep.
Yeah, I agree. And then that's what, you know, I don't mean to be rude by saying this, but then you get incidents like Chris Benoit, you know. That's why guys get addicted to pain pills. They're traveling 300 days a year, throwing their backs flat back bumping on a mat, you know, all night. They get the pain pills, you know, for that. Then they deal with depression. I mean, I've said this a lot. They've got to I think they've got to give some of these guys an off season. Not everybody at the same time. I'm not saying you air for 9 months and then everybody gets 3 months off and it's just reruns or whatever. You know, have some rotation or something where guys are split the roster again. You know, mm-hmm. somehow do something, because there was that span. Remember, right after WrestleMania, I believe there was like 6 guys that got eye injuries in a matter of like 2 weeks. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Guys getting black. That's because they're all getting tired, you know. So now one thing I've proposed with that is, again, the brand split, because then – but to go with that first is I think we need to get back to me, for me, to the big four pay-per-views. I don't know if you remember it. I don't know if they were already starting In Your House when you started watching, or if they were even past that. But there used to be Rumble, WrestleMania, Survivor Series, and SummerSlam. That was it. Then they added King of the Ring, and you had 5, which was fine with me if they would do the original King of the Ring where the entire tournament was in one night. But
yeah,
and if you want, you can still have – those would be your 4 A levels, right? If you still want to have something 12 months a year, which I think is overexposure, which we can get on in just a minute. But you have the 4 big ones. Then you have 4 B levels, you know, where it's a little bit smaller. Maybe the main event is the Intercontinental title. Give it a little bit of a lift itself by being a focus of something. And then the other 4 that you have, you know, that's 8 right there. The other 4 you would have, make the NXT special events on a bigger stage so they get seen more and make that. Do you think something like that could work?
It could, and you could always toss around ideas because you never know what the results are going to be. You just have to listen to what the audience wants, kind of thing. And if the audience wants to see more NXT and all these young superstars get more attention with these pay-per-views, then it's up to the audience to send the messages, send the WWE constant messages, being like, this is what we want, kind of thing. And you just need those kind of leaders, like what you're saying yourself, to get like a crowd behind you, and they'll pay attention. But it's really hard to bring up, try and get people involved. But now in a day like this in social media, one person can make a difference in this era. Yeah. So and that's a great idea for having these. I loved it when they had 2 managers on Raw and SmackDown back in the day. Yeah. I really hope they bring back Teddy Long because he's got to be one of my all-time favorites.
6-man tag matches.
Yeah, he was one of my favorites growing up watching that when he was the manager on SmackDown. And it'd be interesting if they split the roster back up again, because first of all, I think next year SmackDown is moving to Thursday nights. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so maybe that's why I think they might want to start doing is more trying to get more exposure back on the SmackDown roster, and because it's moving to Thursday nights, and you want people to have that. You want to have stability when it comes to all those shows, right? They have they have the main event, they have Raw, they have SmackDown, they have NXT. Stability going to make sure that you get all the audience members that you're looking at.
Definitely. Yeah, and now, what's going to be interesting about them moving to Thursday also is NXT is on, you know, is on Thursdays right now. They're going to move it to Wednesdays. TNA is on Wednesdays. I know it's, and it's on a smaller network now. That may become its own rival, because NXT is somewhat like TNA. You know, it's more the in-ring product itself.
Yeah.
I personally love NXT. I'm nicknamed the TRN resident NXT expert. I freaking love it, what Triple H is doing there. But hold that thought for just a second, because we're going to come back in just a second. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about this. All this, is there going to be competition for WWE Rising? Could the indies eventually do something? Something I've been talking about here recently. Just different things going on in wrestling right there. So stay right there. We'll be right back with Open Turnbuckle right here on TRN, the Talkin' Wrestling Network.
I'll be watching. I've always been watching. Hi.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Open Turnbuckle right here on TRN, the Talkin' Wrestling Network. As always, again, I am your host, B. Rotten, and this week on Open Turnbuckle, we are joined by Cooper the Comedian here. It's been a great conversation so far. We've had fun talking about everything going on in WWE right now. Actually, I was just telling him during the break about how these are all the things I've been wanting to talk about anyway, and he's gotten in my head, and we've just been jumping around, so script with a script or whatever, we're just going to go. And what I said before the break, when we come back, we're going to be talking about possible competition and things like that. Now, Cooper, on some of our shows, I had Alex, the TRM founder, on a couple of weeks ago, and we talked pretty heavy about this. And one of the ideas was that possibly NXT itself could actually get to where it may start rivaling the main roster itself. We kind of threw around the idea, what if they start touring on their own, maybe going to the same cities as the main roster, but just going to the smaller venues, because it seems like a lot of NXT fans, it's that indie. It's WWE's own brand indie company. Starting out with them touring, do you think it would be possible for that to happen? Do you think that if they went to smaller arenas, kept that indie style feel, that the crowds would still be as amped as they are on, you know, at Full Sail University, that crowd? Because that crowd, you got to think, they go all the time. You know what I mean? They see it all the time, those guys. So anyway, go ahead.
Absolutely. It's another great way for somebody, if they want to try and start traveling more to get more notice in smaller venues, they just need to put the effort into preparing when it comes to, you know, the how many seats are in the venue that they're going to travel to, you know, how many tickets they need to sell, what the profit for each individual that's wrestling that night is going to be, how much is it going to cost for traveling time, the, you know, living expenses of while they're on the road kind of thing, where they're going to be living. You can do anything you want when it comes to being in the WWE. It just takes preparation to making sure that you can do those things.
Yeah, and see, we didn't really think about all that. I guess that would be one of those risk-reward things where you got to make sure you're going to make enough back, but, you know, to even make it worth it. I think it could be worth it myself. Again, the indie fans themselves are growing. I mean, just like we've talked about social media and the advent of the internet itself, YouTube giving people a chance to broadcast. Anybody can broadcast if they want to. Giving these smaller indie promotions somewhere a platform, at least a free platform, to at least show people their product, even if it's crappy camera work or anything. At least you get seen a little bit. You know, so with that, the indies are getting noticed more. You've seen guys from WWE leaving, whether it's being released, fired, or leaving on their own, whether they don't re-sign a contract or you get CM Punk'd. You know, my thing is, what if enough guys leave, whether it's their choice or not, because WWE stock is still, it's not climbed back up, really. You know, it just dropped again a couple of days ago. You know, and it may not be these guys' choices. Some of these guys are taking pay cuts to go to NXT. But again, it may not be their choice. Willie Mack got cut before he ever even started in NXT after they signed him. Anyway, my point here is Alberto Del Rio left. You have some guys. What if enough guys collect in a couple, just a few of the indie promotions that work together? Do you think there's ever a chance that that could happen? And if so, could they rise up enough to at least give WWE a little bit more competition? I'm not saying they'd be Monday Night Wars, but, you know, a little bit further.
Well, it would take them years to try and even be a rivalry with the WWE because of the fact that WWE really doesn't have any competition. Other right. than the fact that TNA is doing a great job, and obviously Lucha Underground is starting to bring in some of those WWE characters. It would have to be a long shot because of the fact that Vince McMahon's platform is directed towards that audience, and he brought up a great point on the podcast with Steve Austin is why WCW went out of business. Is because, you know, they left it to the inmates to run it, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they didn't invest in the effort putting into it. So, in my opinion, if any of these wrestlers that leave the WWE and, you know, they start joining places and these other companies start rising, it all depends on how much they put into the product. Yeah. Involving just like, yeah, so if Lucha Underground keeps doing the way they're doing, they're getting more fan base. Their camera work is fantastic. I yeah. love the camera work, how it's HD and everything like that. It would just have to take them a long time because now the fact that Vince McMahon is in total power, you know, him growing up as just a person from a trailer park.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he's brought this company into multi-million, billion-dollar company. I'm not, and so it would take a long time, but it could happen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it would definitely take a long time. But if you look, another thing he said though was they talked about you know, the NWA and Bill Watts and WCW. You know, he purchased part of NWA, made WCW. I'll tell you right now, when I was watching WCW back in 1988, there was no chance in hell I ever thought that it was going to get to where it got. Not a chance. And but that's kind of my point in, we don't know. You know, Lil Lee, he's my 7-year-old stepson. On this show on PG Open Turnbuckle, I do a little thing called Lil Lee's Take, and we ask him questions to get his idea on things, because what I say is I like to have different people from different fan levels on my shows, from a 7-year-old kid who watches every week to maybe a 22-year-old guy who watches once every 2 months to an 80-year-old man who's never missed it in 60 years. Because everybody still has a voice that creative is hearing to get, you know, like you said, you got to cheer for a guy, right? You know, all of us have that voice. No matter how much you watch, you're still one of the people cheering about it. So,
right.
Anyway, where was I going with that part? What was I saying before that? I got on that. What was I saying before the thing?
We just keep jumping back and forth.
I know.
I was just about to mention that Dolph Ziggler, if you didn't know, Dolph Ziggler has actually talked to me in the past, and we have a little friendly competition between Canada. He's a comedian too.
Yeah,
and right. I called him up because me as a Canadian, I like to have friendly rivalries back and forth, and he's friends actually with a comedian named Andy Kindler, who does voice on Bob's Burgers. And Dolph Ziggler tweeted me back and we were like, "Hi, you freaking Canadians," and we went back and forth for you. It was pretty fun, and if there was a future opportunity for me to go against a wrestler, Dolph Ziggler would definitely be the person.
Oh my God, dude. Dolph is, I've said he's this generation's Shawn Michaels. Obviously not on the level, because Vince hasn't given him that level, but as far as talent, the style he does, he's the new Shawn Michaels. I mean, he sells better than anybody since Shawn and Flair. I mean, there's nobody in the game. And that's kind of been his detriment, really. Since he does sell so well, they love to use him to put other guys over to make him look like monsters.
Yeah, yeah. So, and he's a great-looking guy, too, for the girls. They go crazy about him. Yeah. So he just has it. And he's the show-off. He's definitely doing a great job.
Oh, thank God they're finally – I mean, this is one of those times when he won the Intercontinental title, it was – oh, thank God the IWC can breathe. You know what I mean? So, when he cashed in on Alberto Del Rio, that was the first time Courtney ever watched. And she saw me freak out as if Ohio State just won the national title or the Bengals just won the Super Bowl. I mean, I absolutely flipped out. And she wasn't watching it yet, but then it was Mark Henry that got her into it. So, anyway, my point is, when he cashed in and got that, I don't know the last time I got that excited, honestly.
His character is really fun to follow because of the fact that he started off as a heel, then he won the World Heavyweight title, and now he's making... Then he had to start back at the bottom, but as... not as a heel, but as a babyface. And he's worked his way back up as a babyface, and now he's one of the most respected, hardworking sports entertainers in this era today.
Yeah, he is. And I'm happy for him that he's finally getting this. I don't know where they're going with Harper and him. I think with what they've just done with Dolph, honestly, I don't think he needs to go back down to the Intercontinental title. I think they just made him big enough to where the Intercontinental title actually might be a step backward.
And yeah, actually. No, I think it's also his time where now he can start getting main events. One of my favorite pay-per-views of all time is the Elimination Chamber. And yeah. I think you're going to see Dolph Ziggler in that this year to show what he's worth. He's obviously, last year, one of my favorite things last year is when Christian jumped off and yeah. Man, famous. And so I really look forward. I almost guarantee, I really think that Dolph Ziggler is going to be in the Elimination Chamber this year for the World Heavyweight title.
That'd be awesome. I think he deserves it. Who do you think he'll go up against next then after Harper? Say he doesn't win the Intercontinental title. Who would be next to make Dolph, to put Dolph up a little more then, do you think?
I would have to say Seth Rollins. That would be a good pick, because just the fact that he is Money in the Bank, and the fact that the storyline, what they're going right now, is Seth Rollins and John Cena are going to have that tables match. And then from there, you don't really have, if John Cena loses, what's really competition for Brock Lesnar? Right. Roman Reigns is probably going to come back, and then Seth Rollins and him are going to rival with each other for a little bit. And I would probably have to say, yeah, Seth Rollins might be the next person that I would have a great rivalry with Dolph Ziggler.
And that would be awesome. I actually have begged for that, to be honest with you. You read my mind on that one, because, like I said, right now is the perfect time for it. The way they've had those two just run into each other just enough, you know, in these tag matches and stuff. And, of course, they were the last two. And before that, I've been asking for, you know, a couple of months now, like, please, God, eventually give us Seth Rollins, Dolph Ziggler. You give those two guys 20 minutes in the ring, you're going to have a classic match instantly. I mean, I don't see. They both sell great. As far as being like that Shawn Michaels type thing, now Seth Rollins is bigger than people realize, but he's in that same mold, you know what I mean? He's in that same, he sells great too. So, yeah, that would be one of those matches I'd probably pass out, man.
Yeah, no, I really look forward that they actually do that in the future. Probably they are going to do that. And maybe it has to do with the fact that Dolph Ziggler wants to try and make that push for a World Heavyweight title match. But it would have to be somewhere where Dolph Ziggler has an opportunity to win it. Because if he goes against Brock Lesnar, there's no way he could probably do that.
Not Dolph, no, not Dolph.
It would have to be maybe I can see Dolph Ziggler winning the World Heavyweight title in a ladder match.
Yeah, that'd be perfect for him.
Yeah, or Elimination Chamber. And even I'm really excited about the TLC match that's going to be coming up, because that's going to be I've always been an ECW fan as well.
Yeah,
I've always been a, you know, kendo sticks, blood everywhere kind of thing, and so I'm really excited about this pay-per-view because of the fact that it's just hardcore.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what do you? I want to get on Ambrose and Bray here in just a second, but what do you think about Big Show and Rowan in a stairs match? The first ever stairs match. Have you seen that?
No, actually, that you're breaking the news to me for the first time. A stairs match, obviously, with the way they've been using the stairs lately.
Yeah, yeah.
I found it really funny the way that Eric Rowan, when he first came down after Survivor Series, got Big Show out, and then you see Big Show doing his little temper tantrum at the side, and then he flipped over the stairs randomly.
Yeah.
That kind of gave me a hit. It was just like, okay, he's mad. He just flipped the stairs. And the next week you see them using the stairs again.
Yep.
And
here it comes.
I don't know what a stairs match is.
I know. What do they just litter it with stairs all around the outside of the ring? I have no idea. It's the first ever. Have you noticed every match they've been setting up, they've done that same thing? You know, Bray and Ambrose threw chairs, tables, and ladders all in the ring. Let's see, who else? Who's having the Rollins and Cena were throwing tables. They were all setting up what match they were going for. But
yeah, it was Kane and Ryback with the chairs match.
Yes, that's the other one I was trying to think of. Yep.
I'm really excited about the tag team title match. The Usos are back in the title match. Miz and Mezd out of the champions.
Oh,
and
yes.
What I just saw from Jimmy Uso on Monday night was shocking, but...
That is one thing I called... I told Courtney about 2 months ago. I was like, eventually, they have got to have them split up. One of them has got to go heel, I think. Because they've... To some people, they started becoming the John Cena of the tag team division. You know what I mean? They're kind of getting there. And seeing him do that... to me, is going to almost become that Tyson Kidd type thing. What if he starts developing to where he starts to get jealous of people? You know, like, he starts to get jealous of everybody. What do you think? Do you think that's a possibility? Would you want to see one of them turn heel?
Well, what they're doing right now is there's already storylines when it comes to, like, a couple of, couples characters. Fandango coming back with his new new tag team partner with Rosa. I'm wondering, interested how that's going to go with the partnership and that relationship, and Naomi, who's obviously a wonderful, good-looking girl. I can definitely see the fact that they're trying to make him jealous. Just the fact that Naomi is like, that's a 10 out of 10. That's a double round behind. she's got that split thing and everything like that. So I could definitely see what they're doing with Jimmy Uso being a jealous person. And it makes me wonder what they're going to do with his brother Jay. Mm-hmm. If maybe Jimmy is going to get mad at him thinking that, were you commenting on my wife or something like that kind of thing. So, and we already saw the rivalry between the Bellas, how obviously,
yeah, I'm not confusing. Sure if
they... Yeah, it's because now he was supposed to be a slave. She was supposed to be a slave, mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they're back together again. It's just those kind of rivalry storylines. I kind of like about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's why they did that. They found out nobody gave a crap, and then they're like, "Well, now we got to spark something in here." Now, really quick, brought up the tag team division. We just got a few minutes here really left. I mean, there's so much to talk about. We're definitely going to have you come back sometime here in the next month or so. Sometime over the holiday season, if possible. If not, early 2015. The tag team division, though. I'm one of the advocates of, can we get a tag team division, please? You know, I'm kind of, they're exciting. They can be exciting with these fatal four-way tag matches where that's all they're doing. They only have four tag teams, so they say, hey, like, why are Los Matadores even in that match? What have they done to deserve a tag team title match, you know? I love Stardust. I hated him at first, but once they finally start getting in the ring, Goldust is phenomenal. I mean, he's a freak of nature. How much what he used to be, and then he went to Japan and everything, and what he is now, night and day. But the Ascension supposedly is getting ready to come up. Now, I know we've been talking about that for a while, but it's been reported that merchandising is starting to make T-shirts for him. Usually means you're getting ready to come up. Now we have a New Day. I don't know how I feel about them just yet. But how do you feel about the tag team division? To me, I think we should at least have 7 or 8 and make it an actual, you know, competition for the tag titles. But what do you think about how the tag team division's been handled the past decade, really?
Well, first of all, the tag teams that have happened in recent months, I've really enjoyed watching these tag teams. When it comes to Goldust and Stardust in the ring, they're phenomenal to watch. Miz and Mizdow are just fun to watch, just because of the fact that Mizdow does all the stunts. Even Big Show and Mark Henry as a tag team a while ago. I thought that would be probably one of the most dominating tag teams.
Could have been.
But I think the reason why they broke them up is just for that reason. Because I feel like if Big Show and Mark Henry were tag team champions, who would stop them?
Right. It's kind of like the Natural Disasters or the Brothers of Destruction type thing. I don't know if you remember the Natural Disasters or not, but... yeah, to me, I would rather see, though, like, speaking of Natural Disasters, more tag teams that look like a tag team. Like, if you look at NXT right now, NXT's tag team division is amazing. And Triple H has stated he loves tag team wrestling. Vince does not. Vince has this thing where he just likes to take any two wrestlers, one giant, one smaller guy, slap them together like Team Hell No, something like that. Because some of the tag teams we have right now, like I said, I love Miz and Mizdow. You're kind of getting a face and a heel together as tag team champions as it's going to develop. But they're eventually going to break up. The Dust Brothers are expected to eventually break up. Everybody's eventually going to want that Rhodes Brothers match. To me, I want more solid tag teams, I guess, to say, you know, like the Vaudevillains, they're a team. The Ascension, they're a team. Even the Lucha Dragons, they're a team.
They do amazing on NXT, and I'm surprised they don't bring them often more on Raw, because they're fantastic.
Now, you say that. That has been one of my ideas, is the fact that, okay, what you should do is, if you're going to have commercial breaks during a match, what they're starting to do now is what I've said they should do, is put it on the app. Make people go to the app to watch that during the commercial break. Then when they're there, then try to sell the network to them, right? Well, why not use NXT in the same way? Why not have a vignette video package a couple of times on Raw that says, this week on NXT, then give one NXT match, maybe even once every 2 weeks. People say 3 weeks is too long, or 3 hours is too long of a show anyway. Why not give the NXT guys a platform like that, like you said?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and with the talent that they have in NXT, sometimes I think NXT has a better roster than the Raw roster. I mean, they have some really talented people. Obviously, with the Adrian Neville, he's one of the biggest stars there. Sami Zayn, oh, I love that kid.
I like him better now. Go ahead.
They just brought in the guy from Japan. It's hard. I can't remember his name.
It's Kenta, and now it's Hideo Itami.
Hideo Itami.
Yes.
And then also, then they brought in this Finnish guy who I saw was going against Tyson Kidd last week.
Tyson Kidd. Tyler Breeze.
I don't know about Tyler Breeze.
I love Tyler Breeze. To me, he's the next one in line to be that Shawn Michaels, Dolph Ziggler guy. He needs some more developing, but he's been wrestling for 7 years, but WWE picked him up 6 months into his career. He is all WWE trained. So because of that, I think Triple H loves the kid, because he's more a WWE product than an indies product. You see what I mean? So now, really quick, you bring up Sami Zayn. This is one last thing I want to get on really quick. We have a lot more we could talk about with NXT. I love NXT. I think it is a better show than Raw half the time. 75% of the time, I think it's a better show. Even though it's only an hour, they have 5-minute match, but they feel longer. They feel like better matches. Like you said, it's more the in-ring product to me. But really quick, we talked about Sami Zayn. You've seen his transformation here lately, getting a little bit more serious and dark. You see Adam Rose doing the same thing. He said Fandango came back. He's a little bit more of a serious, I'm going to whoop you kind of, you know. And I've been saying this for a while as well, that I think we're starting to actually get out of PG. I know people say the investors, the kids sell more. If the kids sell more, then how come Punk said he's the last one that sold more merch than Cena? How come the Attitude Era made more money than right now? In my opinion, I'm just saying, looking at it that way, I don't buy that the kids are where it goes, you know, where it is. They've been bleeding a little bit more here lately. I know a lot of it's been accidents, but maybe that'll start to show. I don't want blood all the time, only when it's necessary. They've been saying the B word. This is a PG show. And the ass word, more and more. Even AJ saying talent is not sexually transmitted. Elias, my 7-year-old, as I said, he doesn't know what that means. You know, do you think it's possible? Even the investors themselves may say, we need something more that people are going to watch. It's that must-see TV we talked about. Do you think that, do you think they will go out of PG? Do you think it's necessary for them to get a better product, for more eyes on the product? What do you think about that?
No, I think they should stay in the PG category. Just the fact that, you know, they do make those mistakes from time to time where they swear or anything like that. I'm not sure if it's script or anything like that. Obviously Heath Slater, when he went to get Rusev, you know, him calling him a B word in public. And, times have changed since 10 years ago, where usually you couldn't say the word ass or anything like that on TV. And now you see a lot more people doing it in this day and age, which means that maybe our vocabulary is changing the way people feel about it. And, you just like what Vince McMahon said on Stone Cold Podcast, you got to change with the time.
Yep.
And so maybe that's what I think they're trying to do, is maybe they're trying to, ease into, let's try and maybe say the B word and see the reaction, if people find it good or not. So it's good that they're testing out to see if it's acceptable on TV or not. But down the line, I think they still need to keep the show in PG ratings, just the fact that, you know, kids are watching.
Yeah.
But, you know, growing up in the Attitude Era, where there was, you know, when Rikishi ran over Stone Cold with that car. Yeah. That was extreme. You're talking about, you know, when Kane threw somebody in a dumpster full of fire.
I think
this WWE today is a lot more easier going, just because I feel that they're scared to take more risks. Fact that, you know, you never know what's going to happen if they want, if they get, end up getting sued or people get offended. That's the society that we live in right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's they are getting more brash, I think. But I think it's, you kind of put it in a different perspective, is that it's, they're going to stay within PG, but the rating of PG itself is expanding. Yeah. So they're still going to stay within PG, but they themselves are going to be allowed to do a little bit more, because as society, we're seeing PG as a little bit more expansive. I can see what you're saying there, and I can actually agree with a good deal of that myself. So I think that's a good point, really, is it's not necessarily they're stepping out of PG, and I don't think it's intentional. I think it's what I was going to say, what I've said is, with the indies coming up, and it's a little bit more of a serious, sometimes more adult product, more people are becoming fans of that or seeing that more. You have more variety now. The WWE, with the reality era and things like that, if you're going to try to blur those lines a little bit more, you're going to have to go a little bit more brash. Like, I don't want attitude era. I'm not saying that, with Austin coming out flipping people off, saying ass every other word and stuff like that. Just a little bit more that direction than it is right now. But that's my opinion on it. But I do agree with you, that's a good point, that the PG itself is getting bigger. So, well, Cooper, it's been a great conversation, and really, we didn't even get to talk in depth as much as I wanted on some of the topics, but that's why you're going to have to come back, man, if you wouldn't mind coming back here in the next month or two, and we'll talk some more wrestling.
Absolutely. Bring me back anytime you want. It's been a pleasure being on this show. I had fun bringing back old memories of when I was a kid growing up watching it, and it's fun talking wrestling with fans.
Oh, definitely. I love it. This is a passion of mine, and I'm also honored that you came on the show. Thank you very much for doing that and taking time out of your schedule. And also, we do have to have one here in the next couple of days for part two on the line. So everybody tune back in for that, because then we'll find out about Cooper himself even more. All the stuff that he kind of alluded to here on the show, you get to hear a lot more of that. So, well, Cooper, with that said, do you want to go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you at right now until On the Line comes out?
Well, if you want to get a hold of me, I've got my own website. Go to cooperthecomedian.com, and everything there, you'll get to see everything for where I am on social media, my history of where I started with broadcasting. There's a contact page where you can just directly email me, where I get it on my phone. Booking at cooperthecomedian.com. You can find me on Twitter. I love Twitter. I love Instagram. Even on Snapchat, you can find me there. And I'm basically all around the internet, and I look forward to coming back on this show again, talking more wrestling.
Awesome. I can't wait, Cooper. Well, thank you again, Cooper, very much. And everybody, stay right there, and we'll be right back with Open Turnbuckle right here on TRN, the Talkin' Wrestling Network. Everybody, welcome back to Open Turnbuckle here on TRN, the Talkin' Wrestling Network. Man, that was a great conversation I had with Cooper the comedian, and it was so great I couldn't even fit it all into this episode. What I'm going to do is, when I start my channel, is everything else we talked about is going to go on a little extras show or video that Courtney and I talked about this past week on Exposed Steel. Once I get my channel started, some of the segments like Lily's Take that's on PG Open Turnbuckle from time to time, and a couple other segments we're working on, are going to have their own little show videos a little bit after they air here on TRN. But the rest of my conversation with Coop will be a specials extra episode on my channel as well. So definitely stay tuned for that, because we talked about it even more, and he's hilarious and he's just fun to talk to. With that being said, he's also going to be coming back to talk to me here soon, and we're going to put him on the second edition of our interview series here on TRN called On the Line. The first one was TRN founder Alex Carter interviewed Matthew of Botchamania. If you haven't seen that yet, definitely go watch that. Botchamania is hilarious. I've always wondered what was in the head of the guy who makes Botchamania. Well, now you get to find out. You get to learn a lot about Matthew. He's freaking hilarious himself, not just in the videos. He's great to listen to. Definitely go check that one out. But if you liked my show, please go ahead and hit subscribe anywhere it may be on the device you are watching. But if you didn't, click around the channel at TRN. This isn't the only thing here. I do have another show called Open Turnbuckle Exposed Steel with Courtney with a K, my fiance. But there's also a Saturday night shoot live every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Team Heel and Hey, I'm Walter, Non-Legit Wrestling. They're freaking hilarious. It's also viewer discretion advised, so only adults go check it out. Unless you have your parents' permission, of course. But then we also have Sunday Segway has just joined us recently, the podcast. They come all the way from the UK, Ken and Killa and Suggs. I've been on their show a couple of times. It's a great time with all kinds of different segments, and you won't even think you're sitting there for an hour when you're listening to them. And I will be back on their show December 14th, so come back and check me out on that one as well. Doing the Job is another podcast that's getting ready to start here on TRN this week. They get it done. It's all in the title of the show. Alex Carter, our TRN founder, is working on a new show. Will McCormick of Around the Point is working on a new show. And speaking of Around the Point, every Sunday night live, it's Sunday night, it's live, it must be Around the Point. At 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Sunday night, Connor Mogan and Will McCormick, they have a live discussion and debate about everything in professional wrestling. You can comment, they'll answer your comments, live tweet, and they have very special guests every week. We've already had Justin Labar of WrestleZone drop in, Frank Manzo from Wrestle Reaction. Who else stopped in? Joe Cronin of the Joe Cronin Show, JD from NY206, and then he was on twice, and I was on the second one that he was on. That was a Survivor Series edition. Definitely go check that one out. We had a contest, and I think Alex has decided we didn't get to our goal, but Alex is going to go ahead and give away the autographed Sting poster that we were advertising to do. So stay tuned for that as well to see who's going to win that poster. I might be announcing this Sunday night. I'm not sure. So just stay tuned on that as well. Oh, geez, there's all kinds of going on here at TRN. So with that, also, go check out Cooper the Comedian, our guest here at CooperTheComedian.com. You can search for him on Twitter at Coop the Comedian. I'll have it all in the description right down here. So I think I've said enough. I think that's enough. Yeah, that's totally enough. So we'll see you next time. Y'all have a good one.